pricing a product or service, talk about a headache, right? I mean, you need to make a profit, but you also don't want to scare away potential customers by pricing it too high.
You hit the nail on the head. It's a balancing act, and pretty much every entrepreneur I've ever met struggles with this.
That's why we're doing this deep dive today. We're using the source material you sent over to really figure out how to find that sweet spot, that just right price.
And fortunately, there are a few factors that can help us figure out a price that makes sense for you, the entrepreneur, and the customer.
Right. So if you're listening and you've ever just stared at a spreadsheet, totally lost, thinking, what in the world should I charge? This is for you. We're going to break it down. Now, one of the first things that stood out to me in the material was this idea of value perception. What do you think that means?
Well, it's all about aligning the price tag with what your customers perceive the product or service to be worth. I mean, think about it. You wouldn't pay the same for a regular cup of coffee as you would for like a fancy latte made with those rare beans flown in from who knows where.
Right, right. People are usually happy to pay more for something if they think it's special.
Exactly. But the opposite is also true. You know, if you price something too low, it can actually make people think it's low quality. So yeah, finding that balance is key.
You know, that actually reminds me of when I first started out, I was terrified of charging what I was actually worth. So I ended up undercharging. And you know what? It made it way harder to get the right clients.
Makes sense. It's such a common mistake, but it's a good lesson to learn for sure. Knowing your value and then reflecting that in your pricing is crucial. It impacts your revenue for sure, but it also shapes how people think about your brand in general.
Totally. And speaking of understanding value, our source material also talks about unit economics. Can you break down what that means?
Absolutely. Unit economics is basically figuring out the cost to create each individual unit of whatever you sell. And it's not just about profit overall. It's about understanding what goes into each individual product or service that you provide to your customers.
Gotcha. So let's unpack that. The source talks about three main things when it comes to unit economics: cost of goods sold, you know, COGS, time, and then there's this thing, SG&A.
Right. Let's start with COGS. This covers, you know, the direct cost to create your product. So for you, since you're a software developer, think about things like those pricey developer tools that you use, or even the server costs for your app.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's not just physical materials, but also all the tools and resources that you use to actually create the product.
You got it. All right, now the second factor is time. And this one gets really interesting because time is a cost, but it's not as straightforward as just like tracking your hours.
Yeah, I can see that. My time now is probably more valuable than it was when I was just starting out, still learning the ropes, making tons of mistakes.
Totally. And that's exactly what the source material highlights. The faster and the more efficiently you can do the thing, provide that value, the more you can actually charge.
Yeah.
Kind of goes against how we usually think about things like hourly rates, huh?
Yeah, that's a big light bulb moment for me. So it's not just about the hours, but the value that's packed into those hours.
Bingo. Your skill level, the experience you have, even the resources that you can use, it all plays into how efficient you can be. And that efficiency, well, that means higher value.
Makes sense. All right, so we've got COGS, we've got time, and then there's that last thing, SG&A. What does that even stand for?
Oh, right, SG&A. That stands for Selling, General, and Administrative Expenses. Basically, it's the cost of, you know, running the business outside of actually creating the product. So for you as a graphic designer, it'd be stuff like your Adobe Creative Cloud subscription, or your website hosting, maybe even a portion of your internet bill.
So it's all those behind the scenes costs that keep things running smoothly.
Exactly. And for solopreneurs, a really important part of SG&A is actually paying yourself a decent wage. Are you doing that? Are you like factoring in a salary for yourself when you're figuring out your prices?
Wow, that's a really good point. It's so easy to get caught up in, you know, the cost of the actual work that we do that we forget about paying ourselves.
Right. But remember, you're not just the business owner. You're also an employee. Yeah. So you deserve to get paid for all your time and expertise.
Totally. Okay, so we've covered value perception and all the parts of unit economics. But there's this other thing the source material talks about, affordability. It's like, even if you've nailed the perfect price based on your costs and the value you're offering, if your customer just can't afford it, it's a no-go.
Right, right. That's a super important point. It's the final reality check. You can have the most amazing product or service ever, but if it's just too expensive for your target market, you won't sell anything.
What I thought was really interesting was the source material actually suggests that if you're running into this affordability issue, it might mean you're targeting the wrong market. That's got to be a tough thing to hear, but maybe it's, you know, a blessing in disguise.
It definitely makes you rethink some things. Like, what if hitting that pricing wall actually means you need to figure out who your ideal customer really is?
So it's not about lowering your prices to fit into a market that just can't afford your work. It's about maybe finding a different market, one that understands the value and is willing to pay for it.
You got it. It's about finding those people who see what you're offering and think, yes, that's an investment I want to make.
Okay, so that brings us to the final thing the source material talks about, finding the right customers. They're out there, right? We just got to find them.
They are absolutely out there. And we're going to talk about how to do that more in the next part of this deep dive. But for now, just remember, pricing is a journey, not a destination. It's about finding that perfect spot where your value, your costs, and what your customers need all come together.
Wow. I gotta say, this has already been so helpful. I feel like I'm looking at pricing in a whole new way now. So we've talked about how important it is to find the right customers, but how do we actually do that? Where do you even start?
It all starts with, well, kind of taking a step back and looking at the assumptions you've made about your target market. Remember that whole thing about hitting that affordability wall? Sometimes hitting that wall is actually a sign that there's an even better market out there for you.
Yeah. Like, instead of looking at it as a failure, you're saying it could be a sign that we need to switch gears a little.
Exactly. And that's where market research comes in. It's all about, you know, being curious, really digging into what your potential customers need, what they want, what makes them tick.
Okay, so what kind of questions should we be asking?
Think about it like this. What problems do your customers have? Like, what are the things that keep them up at night? What are their goals, you know, their big dreams? And this is important. What makes them actually pull out their wallet and spend money?
I can see how the answers to those questions would be pretty eye-opening. It's like you're building this super detailed picture of your perfect customer.
You got it. And once you have that picture, you can start segmenting the market. That just means, you know, dividing up all those potential customers into smaller groups based on, based on what they have in common, their needs.
So instead of trying to be everything to everyone, you're focusing on the specific groups of people who are really going to connect with what you're offering.
Right. And that's where the magic happens.
Yeah.
Because once you know those specific segments, you can fine-tune your message, you can tailor your products or services, and yeah, you can adjust your pricing to make sure it's the perfect fit.
It's like putting together a puzzle, finding the right pieces so everything just clicks into place.
Exactly. And this reminds me of something we talked about before, you know, the Pareto principle. 80% of your results come from 20% of your efforts.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. So you're saying, like, we could potentially get 80% of the impact we want by focusing on that top 20%, those ideal customers.
You got it. It's about being strategic and not spreading yourself too thin trying to make everyone happy.
You know, that actually makes me think about all the time and energy I've wasted trying to market my services to people who just, well, they were never the right fit.
That happens to the best of us. But the good news is, when you do market research and you segment your market, you can avoid those wasted efforts. And here's the best part. It can inform so much more than just your pricing.
Oh, tell me more.
Think about it. Really understanding your target market can help you with product development. It can help you with marketing and even your whole business model. It's like a ripple effect, one good decision leading to, you know, to tons of good things for your business.
So it's not just about picking a price. It's about using this knowledge to run your business more smoothly, you know, be more targeted, and in the end, be more successful.
You got it. And it all starts with being willing to, you know, to question those initial assumptions about who your target market is, and then embracing the power of segmentation.
Okay, so we've covered value perception, unit economics, affordability, and finding the right customers. I feel like we've really nailed down the basics here. What's next?
Next, we're going to tie it all together and see how all this information can actually help you streamline your business operations. Get ready for some more light bulb moments.
All right, so we've covered a ton in this deep dive. Value perception, unit economics, affordability, even how finding the right customers can sometimes mean, you know, totally shifting your target market. It's all making sense to me now, but I'm curious, what's the big takeaway here? What do we actually do with all this information?
I think the most important thing to remember is that understanding those unit economics, it's not just about setting the right price. It's about using what you learn to make your whole business run better and, of course, be more profitable.
So we're talking about optimizing the business operations side of things. I'm all about streamlining and boosting those profits.
Exactly. Remember those three key factors we talked about: COGS, time, and SG&A. When you really understand those numbers, you can start to see where you can make things better.
Can you give me an example? Like, how could understanding my COGS help me be more efficient?
Well, imagine you're a software developer, right?
Yeah.
And you realize that one of the tools you're using, it's adding a lot to your COGS, but you don't actually need it.
Mm.
Maybe there's a cheaper option out there, or maybe you can tweak your workflow and cut that tool out completely.
That makes sense. So it's not just about like accepting the costs you have. It's about looking at them closely and seeing if you can make them lower without, you know, without hurting the quality of what you offer.
Exactly. And you can think about time the same way. Maybe you can invest in some training or get some resources to help you work more efficiently. Or you could even look at tasks that you can automate or delegate. The bottom line is, the more efficiently you work, the more you can charge.
So better time management could lead to more profit. Now that's a win-win.
And don't forget about those SG&A expenses. Is there any way you can negotiate better rates with, you know, the people you buy stuff from? Or could you cut down on your overhead by, I don't know, finding a cheaper workspace or maybe going completely remote?
I'm starting to see the bigger picture now. It's about taking a look at your whole business, seeing where you can tweak things to make it more profitable in the long run.
And the best part, you can often make these improvements without having to raise your prices. You're basically making your profit margin bigger while still giving your customers the same great product or service.
This whole conversation has been so helpful. I feel like I have a totally new way of thinking about pricing and honestly, a new way of thinking about running my business.
Yeah. And remember, pricing, it's not a one-time thing. It's something you're always working on, you know, learning, trying new things, and adjusting to whatever's happening in the market.
And at the end of the day, it's about finding that sweet spot where, you know, where your passion, your skills, and what your customers actually need all come together. Thanks for joining me on this deep dive. Until next time, keep up the great work and that awesome entrepreneurial spirit.